You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Father, thank you that you have placed a word on Dave's heart for us, for this moment, for this season. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit would be working through him with a sharp-edged sword to bring your word into our hearts. And I pray that we would have ears to hear and hearts to respond. We don't want to hear it and think that was a good word. We want to be changed by you. Holy Spirit, would you continue, as you have in the worship, to move among us and to bring change and to bring prompting. We just open ourselves, continue to open ourselves just as openly as we did in worship to you as we just listen. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, it's good to be here. I don't know, is that working? Yeah. I'm David and I'm here with my wife over there. That's Marie. And we were worshipping at CLC for a long time, long time. And then we just felt God really sort of stop us in our tracks and say, gave us a real holy discontent, not with CLC. I want to hasten to add that and emphasize that, but with our own walk with God. And we started to reflect on that. We felt that, we're not really being fruitful. And, you know, God calls us to be fruitful, doesn't he? So we really thought, right, okay, we need to pray in a season of praying. We really felt God take us back to Acts 2 to really strip us right back to when the church started and say that it was really difficult because we said, I think God wants us to do something. And obviously people kept saying, what's that? And we said, we don't know. And that's a really difficult space to be in, isn't it? And we're still in that space. There you go. After these years, I think we will always be in that space of relying on God to know where we're going and to know what the next step is. But we're trusting him. We believe that we're doing the right thing. We meet in a home church. And, you know, that's where we think we should be until God says something else, and he might do. And we're not saying to you, you all need to get in a home church. It's where you should be. That's not what we're saying at all. God will speak to you where you need to be. And he's building, Jesus is building his church, isn't he? And actually, unless he builds it, we labour in vain. And I think we need to hear that quite clearly. But it's a real honour to be here. I am completely nervous because I don't do this sort of thing. So what I share is almost irrelevant. What's relevant, I should say, is that you hear God's voice. That's my heart, that's my prayer. I have nothing else, only that you hear God for yourself. And you apply whatever God says to you in your life. Because I think a lot of my Christian life, I have gone and I've heard some fantastic speakers and I've been to conferences and I've come away and I look back and think, how much did that change me? And it's got to be me. It wasn't God. God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword. So there was, a reflection on that. I need to apply God's word. So if God doesn't speak today to you, I'm really sorry. Well, in fact, I'm not sorry because he already has, because the word, I was going to say exactly what you'd said. There's so much in that. That really I could sit down and we could hear that again and reflect on that and chew over that. So that's what it is. I just also want to honour you guys for what you're doing in Ross, you know, because this is an exciting time, I think, to be in Ross. I want to honour Andrew and Karis for leading it, but also everybody else, and thank you for the worship team. But all of you are playing a part in building God's kingdom here. And I know there are exciting things happening. I know that there's a LifeLink chaplain being appointed at the secondary school. I know there's a new vicar at St. Mary's, and I know him a little bit, and he's a man of God, you know. And, you know, there are people coming into Ross that a kingdom people. And so it's a good time to be here, isn't it? So it's exciting. So my very eloquent notes, as you can see, my wife would laugh at my really bad writing. I think the other thing that strikes me about Ross, having talked to Andrew and the people, is that there is a unity in Ross between the churches. And again, I fervently believe in unity. You know, it says in the Bible, there's only one thing that will show other people that we're God's disciples. Anybody know what that is? Because I like a bit of interaction, actually. I don't like that. When you have love one for another. That's the good news. The bad news is, it's not just in this room. It's all the other people who own Jesus as Lord. Wherever you are, wherever you meet, it's loving one another. And that's true unity. So anyway, I could go on and I probably shouldn't. So I guess I just wanted to talk briefly about, I believe that this is a time when God's mobilizing an invasion force. I think we are an invasion force today, okay? We live in this Christian nation, which isn't Christian at all, really. And we've kind of lost all of that. And you know, if you talk to secondary school pupils, I'm a governor at Bishops, you know, they don't know anything about Jesus. Not a thing. If you think they've got the knowledge there on the baseline, it is over here. You know, and so I believe that we have a responsibility and a calling to be God's invasion force. We need to get back out there and to regain ground that we have lost as a church and to make a stand and really own the name of Jesus publicly. To stand up for what we believe. I think it's time that we as a church found our voice again. And I looked the other day and I was reading, I'm doing a thing with one of my sons called 1 Kings. And in 1 Kings, there's loads and loads of different kings, aren't there? And unfortunately, quite a lot of them don't follow God. And when the new king's introduced, it amazed me the other day, because it said, and he did more evil than the one before. And I thought, that's not great, is it? That's not great. And then God said, what about your nation? How has the church allowed the evil that we've allowed to come into our nation? I don't want to put a dampener on everything, but I kind of thought, yeah, I think we have to say, God, forgive us. Because even in the last 3 weeks, we have had significant legislation about abortion, euthanasia. I don't want to be political, but these are vital, fundamental things to our culture, to our society. What has the church said? I know we will have prayed, but what has the church said? Anyway, it's time to mobilize. Just picking up on something that was said, it's always encouraging to hear something come through the worship, because I think, great. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, say two things, doesn't it? It says, forget the former things. And as a Christian, I think sometimes we struggle with that, to forget the former things, but God is saying, forget the former things, and see, I am doing a new thing. So forget, but see that I am doing a new thing. So it's important that we get before God and say, okay, Lord, if you're doing a new thing, what is it and what's my role? So in that, I just wanted to consider two things this morning, really. And the first thing is, I think it's important to know what we belong to. So we belong to the body of Christ, and what a privilege that is. You know, we can approach the throne of grace boldly, which is such a privilege. But I wanted to first of all read a few verses from 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 10, in my very big, cumbersome Bible. If you've got a Bible or you've got a phone, please turn to it. I think it's really good to read the Word of God together. So it's 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 10. I'm now realizing that for all the guys that I've known for years and years, I've not mentioned my two sons, Isaac and Reuben. So if you want to know about them, come and catch us after. So it says here, and it's headed, the living stone and a chosen people. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Nay, to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builder rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you, here today, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." Anybody agree with that? It's important we respond. Not, you know, I don't want your emotion. I want your emotion, as James is saying. But, you know, this is the truth. God's special, that you may declare the praises of him, which is what we've done this morning, who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. I'm so grateful for that. So, I mean, I think for me that is quite a remarkable few verses, because we look at church and we look at what is church, and but this is talking about what God is building. And so I just want to encourage you today that you are living stones today, okay? 24/7. So when you go out the door today, your identity is the same as when you were in here worshipping God for 2 hours. You are still a living stone. You're a living stone that God still wants to build something into and with. Yeah? You're being built into a spiritual house. So I think, you know, again, I'm coming back to church, can sometimes be very much focused on where do we meet? You know, what's our building? How are we going to find the money to do the roof repairs on our building? The good news is that you are being built into a spiritual house. Okay? It's a spiritual thing. What God is doing with you as Jesus builds his body is a supernatural thing. It's not a natural thing. I think we are so much of a mindset as we look around that it's all about the natural. But we have had a supernatural experience if we're following Jesus. We're new creations, as Andrew said earlier. And we're called to be a royal priesthood. Yep, so in the Old Testament, they had these priests and they used to tie something to their leg because they were going into the Holy of Holies, because if it all went pear-shaped, when they pulled them out, they'd be dead. You can read that for yourself. That's my sort of abridged message translation. Apologies for that. But you individually, again, are royal priests. Okay? So up here, the hierarchy of the priesthood, that's you. We're not looking for increased people in a hierarchy who are above us. Yeah? I believe we are all royal priests. You look petrified about that. I'm sorry. And because of that, we are a chosen people. God's chosen you, and you're God's special possession. Wow. Do you believe that? I'm only asking that question because I think sometimes we read scripture like we read this morning. I would encourage you to read it and read it. And if you don't understand, say, God, I do not understand this. So what's this guy on about? I am a priest. What does that mean? Speak to God about it, because it's the word of God. You're a holy nation. And again, we could spend all morning on holiness and what God's calling us to be a holy nation. And we're to declare the praises of him who's called us into this wonderful light. And you are the people of God. You know, there's the whole first part of the new covenant, of the old covenant, where Israel are the people of God. Just that one nation. I'm so grateful I live in a new covenant day when I am part of the people of God today. So I want to encourage you in that. It's important to know what we belong to and what Jesus is building. Because the key to it all, as we've sung, is that Jesus is the cornerstone. Now, I'm not a builder, but I have it on good authority that that cornerstone that's laid in a building is the most important thing that you can put down. It dictates the design, it dictates how it's built, what it's built with. It's absolutely fundamental. So we put all our attention to him. So really, I just, the other things to think about is, I just want us to think about, well, if we know what we're part of, and God's calling us to be this invasion force, because I think he is, how can we most effectively be playing our role individually in that spiritual house and as part of that invasion force? So I just wanted to consider two things today, and they're very basic, but I think they're quite fundamental. And they're really related to just reflecting on how your relationship with God is at the moment. Is it growing? Do you feel closer to God now than you did 6 months ago? And if you don't, that is not a problem. God has not changed. His love for you has not changed. It's unconditional. It's just that his desire is that you come closer to him. And increasing measure, you know Jesus better. So, yeah, so it's about how effective are we as royal priests in this spiritual house. Because our role as an invasion force is to bring his kingdom in to where we are. So let us just consider. And the first thing is Jesus truly Lord of our lives? That's a bit of a heavy one, isn't it? Because we sing Jesus is Lord, and we, but I just, again, in your own time, as a priest, just take time to consider, okay, is Jesus Lord? It says that if we confess that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our hearts, with our mouths, I should say, and believe in our hearts that he's been risen from the dead, we will be saved. It's good news, isn't it? But he's much more than a saviour. We can focus on that Jesus has saved me, which is wonderful. But he's also to be Lord. We don't just confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We live it out as well, don't we? And that's the important thing. Does the Lordship of Jesus extend over our finances, over our family, over our work, our play, our ambitions, our politics, our sexuality, and everything in between? Do we give him the lordship over that? Jesus has a claim on every part of us without limits. Okay. Jesus has a claim on every part of our lives without limits. If you're like me, I have to confess there are bits of my life that I think, oh, hang on, Lord. I'm not sure I want you in that bit yet. And he's so gracious, isn't he? He's so merciful. But over time, he'll keep coming back and saying, hey, Dave, come on now. Really? Are we still not dealing with that? Why are you withholding that from me? Come on, I want to be part of that as well. So, in that respect, I think, again, I'd encourage you to take time to just think about what it means when Jesus says, follow me. Because that's what he's calling us to do, isn't it? And in that, to submit every area of our lives to him and allow him to set the purpose and agenda for every life. You know, the cry of the early Christians in John 20, verse 28 is, my Lord and my God. And I want that to come from my heart. My Lord. He's my Lord and my God. And when we look at the early church, you know, we see how amazingly they stood out in the place where they were. You know, where everybody was saying that Caesar is Lord, these guys were standing up and it cost them, a lot of them, their lives and saying, Jesus is Lord. In this nation, we kind of put lots of things as Lord in our lives. And I think we need to be clearly saying Jesus is Lord. So we stand out. I personally know that for a lot of my life, again, I have been exceedingly beige as a Christian. It's not good, is it? It's not good. I want to stand out, not for me, but I want Jesus in me to stand out. You know, it says that we've been made alive in Christ. I no longer live, but he lives in me. And if that's the truth, I've got to be seen to be pretty different to the people around me. The early church were very, very different. And it threatened the whole Roman Empire. So we shouldn't be surprised if we start standing up and speaking for Jesus and making him Lord and showing ourselves to be different. We then shouldn't be surprised if we get some persecution. Hate to say it, but I think persecution's probably a good sign that God is on the move and we're doing something right. So we need to be a community, individually and as a community, surrendered to Jesus, filled with him, so that we can be used by him to bring his kingdom on earth. And some of that's around areas of our life we don't submit. Some of it's around stuff that we put above Jesus. I'm sure we've got all things that we kind of struggle with, all the distractions there are in life. Sports, one of them for me, can be an idol, I have to say. It's kind of sneaky, really. Kind of creeps up on you, these things. And you suddenly reflect, oh, my word, I've spent a lot of time doing that. I give a lot of attention to that. Do I give the same priority and attention to Jesus? Is this pretty heavy? Is it too heavy for you? Do you want me to... it's all... I mean, I want you to please receive this all in the spirit of grace. It's only through Jesus, through the Spirit, that we can do anything, you know, that we can respond to him at all. So, Lordship of Christ, how's it going in your life, really? Second thing is, and again, we've already talked about this, how are we responding to that great commandment to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our minds? You know, James spoke about that connection, and Andrew had a prophecy about the connection, those neuro lines between our heads and our hearts. I need that. I've got too much stuff up here that doesn't permeate to here. I want it in here. I want the passion in here more and more. So I want those neuro lines, I want them to open up. And also I want the emotion that James shared about too. Because God wants that. This is a love relationship. It says that we love him because he first loved us. So if you're finding it a struggle, say, God, do you really love me? Please show me that you love me. I want to spend time. I want to say to you, God, I need to know I'm loved by you. But it's the greatest commandment. Jesus only said there were two, and this is the greatest one. To love the Lord your God with all your heart. There are three alls in that commandment. All your heart, all your mind, all your spirit. All. So we are in a love relationship with Jesus, and we're invited to live as in an intimate place of love with him. It's intimacy that God desires from us. So I just want to read something else from Scripture. Song of Songs, chapter 2, verses 8 to 13. It's a book probably not we probably don't go to very often. I don't go to it very often, but it's a love poem. And it's a love poem between us and God. And all the guys in the room, you've got to imagine that you're all the female part of this particular poem, okay? God, Jesus is the guy. So chapter 2 of Song of Songs, verses 8 to 13. Listen, my beloved. Look, here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. The beloved is Jesus. The guy who is coming across the mountains, bounding over the hills, that's Jesus. My beloved spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone, flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come, the cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit, the blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. So we see these two lovers, the one absolutely desperate, you know, making every effort to get to see the other, hiding behind the wall, peering through the lattice, desperately wanting and saying, come and be with me. Jesus is saying that today. I think today to his church, come and be with me. There is this love relationship that he longs. And he's so desperate that he's leaping across the mountains. He's bounding over hills like a gazelle, a young stag. He's desperate for us to come closer to him, to spend time with him. The truth is, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Wow. Isn't that amazing? He's going to do that. I can't do that. But I'm a co-worker with him. I need to be spending time with him, allowing him to transform me. Because he's gentle. He's loving. He's kind. He's patient. Spending time with Jesus transforms our thinking, renews our mind, our behavior, our values. And within this, I would say to you that prayer is the mechanism for intimacy. Okay. Prayer is the mechanism for intimacy. I've stolen that from somebody, so I don't take any credit for it. The more like Jesus we become, the more effective we will become in this invasion force. We're called to be ambassadors of Christ. See, God is love, and he calls his people to love him first and to love him most. So again, just to reflect, how is your prayer life? Oh, not that again. I don't want somebody to tell me again, I've got to think about it. I think it's good just to reflect. Yeah. Because there's always more, isn't there? If it's great, fantastic. There's always more with God. That's the good news. But is it a quiet time? Is it something you sort of tick off at the beginning of the day? Oh, I'm so glad I've done that 20 minutes. I've done it though, so that's okay. Or is it desire for ongoing communion with him during the day? Because prayer isn't just a list we bring to him, it's a relationship. And so it's that ability to just commune with him during the day. And I wish I had the answer, but I do find God more and more just challenging me. So, hang on a minute, why don't we just talk about that for a bit before I do something? Or there's something that really I need to sort out. Okay, just stop for a minute. I can help you with that. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to, which way do you want me to do this? What words have you got? I'm going for coffee with Bill this morning. You know, I'd love to have a time. Great. What do you want to speak to him today, Lord? I want to be open to that. I want to be aware of your voice, aware of your presence. God says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He is an ever-present help. So if it is a chore to pray, and it is sometimes, isn't it? For all of us, it is. Let's be honest. I'm not, you know. Then talk to God about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring a joy and a lightness to that and a delight in our prayers. God's taught me a little bit around contemplative prayer. Only this bit that just spend 2 minutes being quiet. It was great when Kara said, let's just be quiet, be still and know that I'm God. So I try and do that. I'm not doing it every day, but I try and do it. Boy, try it. It's hard, isn't it? Ping, 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 ping. All this stuff coming in about the day or something I've just read, or Everton haven't signed a good player this season. Well, they never do. So I, you know, you have to go, Lord, I'm getting rid of that. And, you know, but don't then start to bring words in. Just stop. Maybe words like, my God, my all. Just want to just hear you. My God, my all. And there's lots of different ways to pray. I know if you've ever done the prayer course, quite like their simple mantra, which is keep it simple, keep it real, keep it up. I love that. So how is your prayer life? Lordship of Christ and intimacy with God. What's our response to loving the Lord our God with all our hearts, all our souls, our minds? So basically, in summary, I believe that God is wanting, and this is a day when God wants to mobilize his entire body of Christ. I heard somebody say the other day that this is the day of the saints, plural, saints. You are each saints. You are all priests in this. You've all got. And the role of leaders is to equip, enable you to fulfill what God's got for you to do in your role in building his kingdom. So I would encourage you to meditate on 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 7. And to just ask God, well, what is my role at the moment? How can I be more effective? Or how can I be effective in what I'm doing to be part of this invasion course, force? If I need to get closer to God, then really help me, Lord. So what does the Lordship of Christ look like in my life? Are there areas that I still need to surrender to Jesus? Pray for the Lord to show you himself and make his presence known. You know, sometimes God really waits until we're desperate, doesn't he? But let's not wait for that. Let's do it anyway. Let's say, God, I really need more of you. And I just wanted to read, there's a prayer of surrender in a book that I've been reading here, which is really good. and it's quite challenging, really. So this is a prayer of surrender, a personal response, because, again, it's about application of whatever you're hearing today. What is your response, really? It says, take, O Lord, and receive my entire liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my whole will. All that I am and all that I possess, thou hast given me. I surrender it all to thee, to be disposed of according to thy will. Give me only thy love and thy grace. With these, I will be rich enough and will desire nothing more. Amen. And just greater intimacy with God too. Pursue this. Develop that love relationship again. You know, if you've been in love, you know what it's like. You know what it's like to want to be with that person. I want to do the best for that person. I can't wait to be with that person. I will spend as much time with that person as I can. So in that application, it may be that some of us today have got to rebuild the altar of our heart. I think there are four altars that are important around at the moment. There's the altar of the heart, the altar of the home, the altar of the church, and the altar of the region. And I guess what I'm sharing today is more around the altar of our individual heart. We can't really be totally effective for God in what he wants us to do if we haven't got that right with him. So finally, I just wanted to read and pray over you from Ephesians. After that, I will ask my very good friend what he'd like to do. After that, happy to pray with people. But equally, I think, you know, you guys, I look around, there are a lot of mature Christians in the room. Please pray for each other. You know each other better than I do. Pray for each other. So this is Ephesians 3. Verses 14 to 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you, every one of you in Ross CLC, with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Powers at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So, that's me kind of finished. I'm really happy to pray, but just want to encourage you again. I started with encouragement. I want to bring it back to encouragement that, you know, Ross is a key place. God is doing new things in Ross. So let's forget the former things and see, I am doing a new thing. That's what God says. And in Isaiah 54:2, it speaks about enlarging tents. This is a time of enlarging, of growth, of increase. God is into increase, I believe. And you know, we can see, can't we, in our nation that God is doing a new thing. If you watched, I think there's been loads of things on, around this, but Southwest News A couple of weeks ago, massive baptism on Bournemouth Beach. You know, you think, oh, come on, this is great. And those are isolated things. There are what they call quiet revival going on, where we see. We heard, apparently, my wife tells me, on the Express this morning, the front page is Generation X going back to church. Z, Generation Z. I don't get the Express, nor do we. But Generation, that's fantastic news. We have young people in this, I think in this nation, have got a spiritual hunger. And we need to be ready to make sure they hear the truth in their search, don't we? So yeah, I think this is a great day to be alive. And thanks again for having me. It's been good to be here. And yeah, I'll hand over to you.
Thank you. Wow, what a morning, eh? Hasn't God just spoken and spoken and spoken and spoken? There is so much to take hold of and to meditate. We cannot just think this was for today. We cannot just go away from here without meditating on all that God has said to us. It's so important that we just respond. You know, God has been speaking about our heart and our intimacy again and again and again. And there's purpose in that. It wasn't just that we were more intimate. It was so that we went out. So I, if there's something you want prayer for, please, please, please ask somebody, come here, come to the front. Andrew, I, Dave, people will pray for you. We don't want to make you feel that, or anyone to feel that you need to fight this on your own. We're in family. We're in family. We're not going to do it by judgment. If you want to be family with a tea and coffee, it's there. That's just as important. Okay? But we want to provide a place for prayer. So just in here, I'm going to say that if you want to pray by yourself, if you want someone to pray for you, then let's do that in here. If you want to pray with tea and coffee or just have family with tea and coffee, then we'll do it in there if that's okay. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much, Dave and Marie, for coming. You've been most welcome.